Today is a kind of a new sermon series. This is kind of a standalone sermon. I'm trying to intentionally tie it in to the next 2 weeks as we head into our Easter services. And it's just simply called the Invitation to the Cross. Invitation to the Cross. And so we're going to look at maybe what it looks like for us as the church, what it looks like to us to actually take the invitation to the cross that we see in the pages of Scripture and apply it to our lives. Inviting people that are within our circles to get uncomfortable, to step out, and maybe, just maybe, invite them here for an Easter service, worship experience where they experience Jesus. And so, again, my name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here. It's a joy to be with you. I'd like to welcome my son. He's back from college. It's my number one guy. I love that he's here. So again, it's a joy to be with you. I just want to thank the cleaning team again. We had a cleaning day yesterday. We had so many people here. We had three little ones. Thank you to Aaron and Kara Dovey for your leadership. Just so thankful for that. So a lot of things were cleaned and thrown away. It's spring cleaning was necessary. So we are cleaning house to get ready for Easter coming up. So, hey, let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that you'd be with us, that you would help us to focus, Lord, that you would have your Holy Spirit fall fresh upon us right now as it's already here. So, Father, I just pray that you'd open the words of the Scriptures to us, and that we'd apply them and live them out. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to look at this invitation to the cross that we see from Jesus. We're 14 days away, 2 weeks out from Easter. And we're excited for that. And it's the most important holiday, the most important date on the calendar. It's the most important day in the Christian experience for us as we remember and celebrate and worship the risen Jesus. Amen. And so as we do that, we want to invite people here. And so that's why this isn't just a bunch of stuff that we do. It's real to us. It's what we sang about. It's why we take communion. It's why we do those sacrificial things. And so for us, this invitation from Jesus to take up our cross, to follow him, it matters. It matters to you. This morning, I just want to encourage you, don't check out. Stay with me for these next few moments here, okay? We're having Easter. I just want to draw this to your attention. Our worship experience on Easter, we have two times, 9 and 10:45. 9 and 10:45, we're going to have childcare. We're going to have those available to you. You can hit the QR code. And again, I want to invite people to this experience. We're inviting people to experience this relationship with Jesus, that they may know him and have a life and a hope in a relationship with him. Amen. So here's what we're asking you to do. We've given out invitation cards. We've given out all kinds of different things. There's a yard signs we gave out last week. We still have a little bit more of those in the back if you want to take one. But it really is, the invitation isn't just me talking about it. What happens is, it's you actually inviting one or two people. And as Pastor Gary said in our huddle this morning to our leaders, God is looking for you just to be faithful and obedient in the invite, in the ask. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do the work. And so we're asking you this morning, as we're thinking about what it means to follow Jesus, just to simply be bold, have faith, and step out and hand out that invite. Amen? That's what we're going to look at. So I just want to set this up as we think about that. Have you ever seen the movie The Princess Bride? The Princess Bride, 1987. There's some hands going up. It's one of my favorite movies as a kid. I loved it. Fred Savage was in there. It was great. So what I love about this movie, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. Go check it out. If you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. There's a young man in this. It's kind of like the main guy. His name's Wesley. And Wesley is the servant of this beautiful girl. Her name is Buttercup. And as they kind of interact, he's like the servant of hers. She asks him to do all these mundane tasks. And she'll say, you know, get the saddle for the horse. And he'll say, as you wish. And he'll say, grab the pan from the shelf. And he says this, and he says, as you wish. And then it says in the movie that she realizes, as he's saying, as you wish, what he really means is he's saying, I love you, to her. And he's saying, as you wish, or I love you. And she's saying, will you do things? And she starts realizing, and then the two of them form this relationship. It's a beautiful story. It's full of adventure. It's incredible. But as we see this, he earns this. He continues to demonstrate over and over this this sacrificial love, this servant-like love that he has for Buttercup. And he says, I wish. But that I wish is really an I love you. It's an I love you. And so here's the thing. As Jesus calls each one of us and says, would you follow me? My hope and prayer for us this morning is that we're going to say, as you wish. But really what we're saying with all of our hearts is, I love you. We're going to invite because of who God is and what he's done. And as we took communion, we're going to say, as you wish. Can we do that this morning? And so that's what we're going to is saying, I, as you wish, or I love you. That's what we're trying to do. So Christ lived out in scriptures for us over and over. He said, as you wish, to the Father. He says, I love you. I'm going to do the will of my Father. I'm going to be on mission and focused on what God has called me to come to earth and to make a way to deal with this sin problem that has impacted the world. And all along, all through Jesus' ministry, he says to his Father, as you wish, I love you. I'm going to do the will of the Father. That's what we're called to do in this season. We're called, we really are, we're called to follow Jesus with all that we got. There's a bell or something. Is my time up? Or am I supposed to shut down? I don't know. I'm going to keep going. The tension with us this morning is that sometimes, like as Pastor Gary said, it's uncomfortable for us to be servant-like or to invite others to come to church. It's tough for us. It's really difficult. Why is it so difficult for us to invite people to church? Why is it so difficult to tell people about Jesus and what he did on the cross and what he did on the third day? Why is it so tough for us to do? And so that's the tension that we have to wrestle with. We have to get uncomfortable. We have to step out in boldness. We have to step out in obedience. And we have to invite people. You can't just hold this back for yourself. You've got to share it. That's what we're called to do. And so Jesus is inviting us today to be a fully devoted follower. That's what it's called. We're called to be fully devoted followers. We're called to do these three things. A fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ will invest by faith. What do I mean by that? We're going to look at this. We're going to be devoted to Jesus, and we're going to invest our lives, and we're going to take steps of faith. And some of us are struggling in that this morning. I'm not sure where my faith is. Some things have happened in my life, whatever that is. But I'm going to challenge you to invest by faith. The second thing that fully devoted followers do is they have an outlook, a perspective, a heart that breaks for others, and they're going to invite their friends to meet this Jesus. Does your heart break for others? Do you see people in your life that need to know about Jesus? If you don't, wake up. They're all around you. There might be in your family. And how about this? The third thing that fully devoted followers will do of Jesus Christ, they're going to inspire others to move forward, to take their next steps in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. The inspiration comes from what Christ has done. The inspiration comes from our weaknesses and our stories. And so we're going to inspire others to move forward. Do you know you have a story that God wants to use to inspire others to move forward? You're like, oh, what do I have to say? You have so much to say. That's stinking thinking. Get that out of your head. Get that out of your heart. God wants to use you to inspire people forward. Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2. That's where we're going to camp out today. Mark chapter 2, it's an amazing story. We see Jesus on mission, focused on the will of the Father. He's in the Capernaum in the region of Galilee, and he's doing this ministry for people. He's performing miracles. He's teaching. He's changing people's lives. He's inspiring them to leave a life of brokenness, but to follow him. And so he's doing all of these things. And so he's calling these disciples to watch what he does. And so we have this amazing scene in Mark chapter 2 in Capernaum on the northwestern shore of Galilee. This is at Peter's house. I have this picture up here. Thank you, Joel. These are just images. They're just art renderings of Mark chapter 2. This is Peter's house. Can you imagine if I came over with a couple of my friends and we started digging through your roof? How would that make you feel, right? And so this is what I want you to see, this image. There's two side-by-side images. One is bigger than the other, obviously. But they're digging through Peter's roof to get to Jesus. Jesus is in this house in the Capernaum region. He's teaching, and people are jam-packed. People have invited their friends. People have come from all over. There's something about Jesus, and people want to know about him. And so We're going to read this story, and I just want you to see this visual before I go through. We're going to read all 12 verses in a story version, okay? But I want you to see this. I want you to imagine what it's like being there. I want you to feel like you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, stuff hits you in the head. Or you hear this rustling, more than normal. What would it have been like? Or are the people in the room, there are teachers of the law that are in the room. Judgmental Christians who think they have it all together, teachers of the law, okay? They think they have it all together. They should know better, but they're casting judgment, okay? We have people that are just spiritually broken and in need and are hanging on every word of Jesus. And so this is a great image. You know, look at the man who's just, he's just being lowered down. You see Jesus in that picture. He's against the wall. He's holding up and looking up at him. This one, he's kind of on this side. And it's a beautiful scene. I love this. I love this story so much. And so I want you to keep this image in your mind. I'm going to have the scriptures that are going to be behind me as I read it. And so we're going to look at this. In Mark chapter 2, we see, you can leave it right there. Mark's theme is he writes. He gives you, it's the closest thing to an eyewitness account that we have in all of the Gospels. As a matter of fact, that Matthew, Luke, and John will use Mark as a reference because his testimony and encounters with Jesus are so on point. And so there's a lot of details. And we see in Mark 2 about the details of the roof. See other details. And so Mark, he's telling these important details to really drive home the importance of who Jesus is, that he is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so as we read that, think of this story, and then think of your story, and then think of other stories of people that you know, friends, family that need to know Jesus. And so it's one of the most inspiring stories to me in the Gospels. I love it so much. But Mark writes with this attitude of the heart, one of his themes in his writings. It's overcoming obstacles in some sense. The people are in his Gospel accounts, and he writes about Jesus. They're overcoming some type of obstacle. How many of us this morning are overcoming some type of obstacle? We need to hear this, okay? We need to hear this. This is a great reminder for us. And so as we look at this, we read this, just think of those things. What are the obstacles you're having? Who are the people you're inviting? Who is Jesus to you? Does he really have authority in your life? So as we read this out, I just want you to keep that in mind. Here we go. In verse 1, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. So he's returned from doing ministry elsewhere. He came to this region, and he's returned. So people were gathering. Soon, the house where they were staying, Peter's house, was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. So you can imagine this, that there's this little small area. They're so packed. There's people looking in all the different windows and doors. People can't get around it. It's crazy. And so they can't get in. While he was preaching God's word to them, verse 3, four men arrived, carrying a paralytic man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat and right down in front of Jesus. So just imagine, I'm teaching right now, and all of a sudden, Aaron and Doug and Sam and Joel, they're lowering someone down through the roof right where I'm teaching. That's what's going on here, okay? It's amazing. So they lowered him down right where Jesus was teaching. Verse 5, seeing their faith, say faith, say faith. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6, but some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, and think this in your almost sarcastic, derogatory tone of voice, "What he is saying, this is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Verse 8, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? It is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up and pick up your mat and walk.'" Verse 10, "So I approve to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." Then the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. And they were all amazed. Say amazed. They were amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Isn't that an amazing story? It's an amazing story that this man who was paralyzed, and he was known through the community, and all of a sudden Jesus heals him. And there were teachers of the law. There were people that were mature in their faith with God. There were people that didn't know God. And all of a sudden, they see this amazing story happen. And it says, they've never seen anything like this before. That's the business that Jesus is in. That he's in the business of healing. He's in the business of giving life and hope to people that need it. And so that's why we're saying, invite somebody to know who this Jesus is. That's why we're doing this. So here's the thing, as we look at this, they've never seen anything like this before. We have an issue of identity, that this man was wrapped up in his brokenness and his physical ailment, that he was neglecting the spiritual. We have this tension between the people that really don't know Jesus versus the religious law, religious rulers. And then we have this issue of Jesus' authority and inviting friends. And really, it's a great thing. So here's the thing. I want to look at this. We're going to talk about the faith part first. We're going to, fully devoted followers will invest by faith. What do I mean by that? Well, it says the four men carrying the cross carried a man on a mat. And so these men were invested by faith. They had probably had an encounter of who Jesus was, they say, that they have probably had some type of encounter before. They experienced Jesus, and so they believed. That word faith in the Greek is faith or belief or trust or confidence. They had a fidelity. So for them, it wasn't just like, maybe this is something, we'll give it a try. This was like they knew, they had faith. It was they had this trust in who Jesus was and who he says he was. And so that's why all these people were there. They wanted to see Jesus as well. But, you know, obviously they're carrying a paralytic man, their friend, on a mat, so they didn't get there right away. So they missed that opportunity. But did that stop them? Did that stop them? Did they make excuses? That's the thing that's inspiring to me about this story. You have four men who have so much love for their friend and confidence in who Jesus is primarily that they're going to not stop. What happened? I wonder sometimes if this story would happen in the modern church, if that man would be healed. Like, would they just stop? Were they just like, like their faith was not tested enough? Their faith wasn't strong enough? That they just kind of gave up? Well, maybe I'll try some other thing. That's what we do. That's what I do sometimes. That my faith is not as strong as I want it to be. That I say I have faith, but when it really comes down to it, am I living that out? Do I have enough faith that I'm going to carry my friends and tell them that message? And I love that. So we have this, the faith of the four friends. They're invested in this relationship with their friend. They were invested. Do you have relationships right now in your life that you're invested in? Do you have true friendships? Agape friendships, the Christ-like friendship that you have. Do you have those in your life? That they cared so much about this guy that they brought him to Jesus. They carried him on the mat, right? They saw obstacles and they came up with a plan. But their faith is what drove them. Their faith in who Jesus was is what carried them through this obstacle. And so Mark, right, he writes in such a way, he shows you the obstacle. There's a crowd. They can't get to Jesus. What are they going to do? And so we see what they're going to do. But faith in Christ brings hope and life. Faith in Christ brings hope and life. For them, they saw that Jesus was the only one that was going to be able to bring hope to this paralytic man. He was the only one that was going to bring healing to this man. Do you see your friends in such a way that Jesus is the only one that can do that? There's ownership and things that we can do, right? We can invite, we can do this, but we have to have that faith that we believe Jesus is who he says he is, that he's going to do the things that he says he's going to do. That's what I love about these. They had such faith. They found a way. They found a way. So many times we make excuses. Sometimes the excuses are legit. Things that have happened to us, things that we're going through, physical ailments that we're dealing with. And sometimes that's right. But sometimes here's the faith that continues to push us forward and persevere through those circumstances. There's going to be obstacles along the way. What I love about Jesus is that he says that in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. These men demonstrated that. They're saying, we're going to, in faith, go to Jesus. We're not going to make excuses. John 15:13 says this, there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's own life for our friends, and that these guys were willing to do that. A home in this time, in Mark, in this time in Jesus's culture, first century AD, there were steps, there were porches. They had to go up. Like, imagine taking someone up like a lot of steps. And then there was there wasn't like a railing to protect them. There wasn't code or anything like that. So it was dangerous for them. But they found a way to get their friend up there onto the roof. And so I love that, the faith. Are you invested by faith this morning? Are you invested in faith this morning to look out and reach out to God and say, look, who is it that you want me to invite? Who is it you want to invest my life and pour myself out into? Help me find the ways. So I have to ask the question, there are things in our life that are holding us back. There are obstacles in our lives that are holding us back from stepping out in true faith and committing to who God calls us to be. And I want to ask you this morning, what is that for you? Can you think about those things that are holding you back from truly having that biblical faith? That what is holding you back? And I want to encourage you, think about that thing. Whatever it is, identify it. Pull it down and say, God, I give you this. Help me to walk in more faith. Help me to just, you've done it once and for all. You went to the cross. Like, that's what we sang about this morning. That's why we took communion. But for us, it's allowing ourselves to be invested by faith in who Jesus is and not given to fear, not given to obstacles in our lives. Maybe there are obstacles that you're going through, and I'm sorry you're going through those, but I want to encourage you in faith to push through those obstacles. Amen. Here's the second one. Fully devoted followers of Christ will do this. We'll invest by faith. We're going to see, we're going to have our friends. We're going to invite our friends. We're going to believe for who Jesus is. We're going to invite our friends. We should want to tell our friends about Jesus. We should want to encourage and bring our friends here or wherever it is. That should be part of us. That just should naturally come to us. My hope and prayer is that you see this, that they invited their friends, that they cared so much, they dug a hole through his roof. Can you imagine? Like, they brought tools with them just in case. They dug through the roof. And those roofs had like mud and sticks and all kinds of other things. They didn't have rebar back then. But there was all kinds of other things. But they were prepared to invite their friends. They cared so deeply for them that they were moved to make a way through that obstacle. They dug through the roof. And so they were deeply concerned. Are we deeply concerned for the friends and people that we have in our lives? Or are we just going to go, let somebody else take care of it? That's on me. That's on them. God wants to see our obedience and investing in them. My hope and prayer is that you have people in your life that you're going to invest, that you'd be willing to carry them on a mat, up a flight of stairs, to dig through a roof, to bring them to Jesus. The urgency of now was there for them, and I just wonder if it is there for us today. Do we have an urgency of now to invite our friends? And my hope and prayer is that we do. I know some of you do, and that's why we had so many people here yesterday cleaning. Again, thank you. But we did that because we want people to come into a place that looks good, that smells good, right? Churches do have that weird funky smell, and I'm so thankful that we got that cleaned up. But we need to be willing to invite our friends and willing to invite our friends along the way. They believed that Jesus could meet his need. And I truly believe this, is that when they were looking and they thought of Jesus, they first thought the physical need. But what Jesus saw was the spiritual need. And so for so many of us, we get tripped up by a physical need, and they're legit. Jesus can meet that. But what Jesus sees in us is also a spiritual need to have a relationship with him. So maybe you're here this morning, you have a physical need that Jesus wants to heal that. But also he sees our hearts, the conditions of our hearts, and he wants us to be healed of those things. He doesn't want us to continue to have obstacles that get in the way of following him. Jesus was their object of their faith. They worked together as a team. They worked together as a group of friends to get him up on the roof, to get down in front of Jesus. They worked together. The body of Christ works the best when it works together, okay? I had the opportunity to teach one of the classes with Pastor Gary and his school of ministry cohort, and we have some folks here today with us. Thank you for being here. But it was great to see people from all over the United States that were here in that room upstairs, like-minded, working together as a team because they want to know more about Christ so people can come into a relationship with him. It's a beautiful thing when God's church works together. So I love that. And so there's this mission to invite their friends that was paramount for these four friends. Do we have that? Do we have a willing, burning desire, an urgency of now to invite people? People need to hear this message. It's a serious thing. This isn't just like old school Sunday school or whatever it is, like cheesy Christian stuff. This is real thing. There's souls involved here. People need to know. People are struggling right now. And so they invited out of obedience. Because of who Jesus was, they invited their friends out of obedience. That's what God wants to see from us. Are we going to be obedient in inviting people this Easter? Or whenever it is, even after Easter, we're going to be willing to invite people. God can use you. Some of you are sitting here this morning thinking God can't use you. It's only professional Christians, right, that do this stuff. But he wants to use you. Just like he used the four friends, he wants to use you. You have a story. You have breath in your lungs. God wants to use you to make an impact for his kingdom. And so practically speaking this morning, like as we're thinking about our friends and we're thinking about who we might invite, again, there are obstacles in the way. And some of those obstacles are uncomfortableness. I don't like to talk to people about Jesus, or I don't like to talk about Easter. Like, whatever it is, like, that makes us feel uncomfortable. But that invitation of the cross says, don't give into that. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's the invitation of the cross, friends. And so these men worked as a team. They invited their friends. They had an urgency of now, and I love that. So fully devoted followers of Jesus will invest by faith. They're going to be invested through faith. They're going to invite their friends. And thirdly, they're going to inspire others to move forward. They're going to inspire others to move forward. Do you know Christians in your life that inspire you? Do you have people in your life that inspire you? There are people in my life that have inspired me, that continue to inspire me. One of the great things that I got to spend time with Pastor Gary, it was in Liberia, is I got to spend some more time with him and just to hear his heartbeat. You know, my prayer is that you surround yourself with people that inspire you, that encourage you, that can turn, when you're going through obstacles, these friends are going to inspire you to press through that tough time. My son even does that for me. I see what he goes through, and he continues to push forward. I'm so thankful for him, right? So I pray that. I pray that you have those people in your life that are inspiring you to take your next step in Jesus, that one day at a time, to keep going forward, right? Only through a relationship with Christ can we move forward. That's what we need to see. That's the important thing. That's what the four friends knew. They knew that this man could be healed and Jesus could heal him, but it's only through forward that he was able to be spiritually healed as well. Some of you need spiritually healed this morning. That the only way forward is through Jesus Christ. Is him to actually touch you and heal you from the things you're dealing with. He wants to heal you and help you move forward. Jesus brings healing and wholeness. Healing and wholeness to our lives. That many times we feel broken or even physically like just tired, exhausted. Jesus brings us healing and hope. He sustains us when we can't feel like we're going to go on, but Jesus is the only one that can do it. He's the one that does it. He's the one that brings that forward. What I also love about this is that there's opportunities for all of us. Opportunities everywhere we look, all around us, in this community, wherever you work, within your family, to invite and invest with people, to step out in faith, to get a little uncomfortable, to see what God will do in that moment, how he can. Those opportunities are all around us, but we need the spiritual discernment and awareness and wisdom to be able to take that step forward. And I'm trying to encourage and inspire you this morning. That I know this is tough sometimes. We're not asking you to go door to door. We're not asking you to give a 3-point sermon. We're just asking you to be faithful and say, I want to invite you to church on Sunday. I want to invite you to Easter coming up. I just want to do that. So God sees that. God knows your heart. And so I want to encourage you to inspire people. Your life. Let your life speak loudly. Let your life speak loudly before others. Jesus saw that this man had a physical ailment, but he says, your sins are forgiven. People are probably like, what? And the teachers of the law missed the whole point. They missed that Jesus was the Son of God. They missed the opportunity to have this relationship with God. Instead, they got hurt. They started taking offense. They started, you know, doing everything else, but realizing Jesus is the Son of God. They missed an opportunity. But the four friends and the paralytic man, they saw Jesus for who he was. Do you see Jesus for who he is this morning? Do you see that the knows that, here's the thing. Jesus wants to take a deeper look into your heart and a deeper look into your life and give you life and give you hope and give you healing and wholeness more than you could ever imagine. He wants to do that. But so many times, all we see are the obstacles. All we see are the house is full. We can't get to Jesus. We make excuses. And all along, God said, take faith. Be bold. Be bold. Find a way to get to me, right? And not always will you have to dig through a roof to get to Jesus. Sometimes it's just getting on your knees and getting over yourself and saying, Lord, I need you. That's what he wants from us. And so because of God's great love, right, Jesus' great love for us, he went to the cross, he shed his blood, that he says, I'm going to bring you healing and wholeness. What a great message. It's a message of hope and life. His love for us is everlasting and eternal, that he shed his blood. We took this communion this morning in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross. And as we remember what he did, it's his blood that sets us free from all unrighteousness. It's his blood that makes a way for us to have a relationship with God. There's a story of a soldier who had been who was to be shot for a cowardly crime. This execution was to take place at the tolling of an evening bell. But at the appointed time, there no sound came from the bell tower. An investigation found that there was a girl who was engaged to be married to the man, to the condemned man, had climbed up into the bell tower and got into the bell tower and clung to the clapper on the giant bell to prevent it from striking. When the authorities found her, she had hands that were bleeding and torn to shreds. That she saved this man's life because her hands were held to this clapper. She shed her own blood to save her loved one. How much more does Jesus shed his blood for us? That he goes to the cross with his nail-scarred hands and his feet to say, I love you. This is a message worth inviting people to get part of, right? It's saying, as you wish, God, whatever you want, I'm on board. I want that for my life. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. As he forgave that man of his sins that was lowered down. He healed him physically. He got up and walked. But more importantly, he was healed spiritually. People need to be healed spiritually from the things that they're dealing with, their brokenness. They need that hope. And so, hey, if we know where to take this guy, how do we get there? Well, we can bring him and introduce him to Jesus. We have a responsibility to do that. If you're a fully devoted follower, you're going to want to inspire others to know this Jesus who went to the cross and shed his blood on his nail-scarred hands and feet. And again, it's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we're able to move forward and inspire others. Do you want to be forgiven of the things you're dealing with? Do you want to move forward in a situation, maybe you feel like you're upside down like a car with their wheels spinning, and you want to move forward, you want to get out of that situation? Jesus was the one that can help you move forward. Do you want your friends to know about Jesus, to have spiritual healing and wholeness in their lives? Jesus is the one that does it. So I'm going to encourage you to inspire, use your life, let the Holy Spirit empower you to move others forward. Get out of the way, let other people see Jesus in you. Let your weakness out. There's strength in weakness. Do you know that? There's strength in weakness. And we need to invite people to experience this life-changing Jesus once and for all. I love the slide that the sermon where he talks in Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 16, he says, if any one of you wants to be my follower, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Give up your own way. Take up your cross. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard for us to give up our own way and our own thoughts, right? And he says, take up your cross. Whatever that is, take up your cross and follow me. This is the invitation to the cross that Jesus says. This is the beginning of Mark's gospel. He's pointing to what Jesus is going to endure on the cross and eventually through the resurrection. But it's an invitation to the church then, and it's an invitation to Brighton Heights now. Will you take up your cross and follow him? If you try to hang on your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? So that's the invitation of the cross, that we see Jesus boldly living this out in Mark chapter 2. That it took faith. It took overcoming obstacles. It took obedience. And it just took realizing that there were sins in our lives that we need to deal with, that only Jesus is the one that can forgive. That I'm not going to just continue to manage my own sins. I'm not going to get familiar and comfortable with my stuff, but I'm actually going to take it down and lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, have your way. Jesus, I want to follow you. Follow your direction. We want today, this morning, to be about creating a place for Jesus and inviting friends, but not just about a visitation, inviting people here, but we want people to understand that Jesus can reside in their hearts forever. That's what it should be about. And so this morning, that's what we're saying. Inviting you, Jesus is inviting you to follow him. He wants you to respond to him as you wish. I'm going to invite you to stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, in this moment, I thank you for today. I thank you for the way in which you moved. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd move on hearts this morning, that we would not just go through the motions, Lord, but you have a purpose and plan for us. Lord, that you want us as your followers to be fully devoted to you. And what that means is having that faith, that courage to get uncomfortable, to take a step forward. And Lord, because of who you are, and Lord, what you did on the cross, Lord, we honor you and praise you. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we would respond, that we would see people around us and not miss opportunities or see obstacles. But Lord, we would push through in boldness and courage and faith to find a way to you, to get to you. Lord, we would stop making excuses. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd be with us in these moments. I pray that you would reside in our hearts, Lord, as we invite people to come. But Lord, we would reside and take a residence in our heart and fill us with your Spirit this morning. I pray for the boldness of those four friends, Lord, that would be the spirit of which we have faith as we live in our lives. Lord, help us to respond as you wish. We love you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name. Listen, don't sit down. I want you to, I want to just give you a challenge. Here's my response. We're going to do things a little different this morning. We have this board. You're probably like, what was this all about? Well, here it is. This is a board that we're going to ask you to, those cards on your seat. It says, I'm going to invite, I'm praying for blank to join us on Easter. Do you see that? There should be a pen and a card. Right now, as Aaron plays, we're going to ask you to write down a name, two names, 20 names. It's up to you. But what we want you to do is this, is we're going to have you write a name on that card and boldly come forward just down the aisle. And we're going to help put these on this board, and we're going to put them up, and we're going to pray over these names where we invest and invite people to experience the risen Jesus. So right now, as Aaron plays, just right now, who are those people in your life, the friends you're going to invest and invite in? Who are you bringing to church? Put a name down. If you haven't thought of a name, write something. Say, Lord, forgive me. Give me that passion, whoever that is. Write it down and come forward. We're going to put it here on this board right now.